Hour two of the Carson Anderson Extravaganza, Stoney in for Doug. Gator and King with you today as well. 248-539-9797. The telephone number, same number to text as well. We've been talking a lot about the All-Star festivities. Last night was the Home Run Derby. That was pretty good, actually pretty entertaining. Cal Raleigh put on a show. A lot of guys put on a show. O'Neill Cruz with a 513-foot home run. I don't know how accurate the measurements are when it get to these things, but when you see somebody hits a bomb, you know it's a bomb. Mm-hmm. And that was an absolute bomb. I'm surprised that there weren't more windows that were shattered last night the way some of those balls were just launched off of the baseball bat and, you know, hitting various parts of a stadium that are never supposed to be reached. And these guys are reaching them. It was an impressive display. And I always find it interesting, you know, where a stadium might favor a left-handed hitter or a right-handed hitter, depending on, you know, how it's set up. But last night I thought was really cool just because the vantage point was just different. It looked, you know, I think it was a cooler backdrop hitting it to right field than it was to left field. And yet left field had some, that stadium, there's some cool stuff there too. The stadium itself was just interesting. How many tiers they had, how many levels they had, the luxury box areas, it ended up being a stadium, now that I've seen it, more intimate than what you would just catch on a Saturday afternoon. I want to see it in person now.
It's not in the city, I don't think. I think it's, they moved it to the suburbs, basically, if I'm not mistaken. I wish Jimmy was here, but because he would know.
George Jimmy.
But I mean, in my lifetime, you had, you know, Fulton County Stadium, and you had Turner Field, and now this place, Truist Field, or whatever it's called, Truist Park.
But it looks really cool.
Yes, it does.
And it's one that I want to check out. Yeah. You know, there have been some ballparks that when they come up, I'm not a guy who travels around the country to go to ballparks and get to mark them off my list, mm-hmm. but there have been some that I've said, I want to see that one, and I went and saw it. I went and see Jacobs Field when it first came out in Cleveland, and it didn't disappoint. I thought it was great. I wanted to see Camden Yards in Baltimore. I freaking love Camden Yards in Baltimore. I wanted to see Pittsburgh.
I haven't done that yet.
Park. It's great, and you know, the whole setting right there on the riverfront with the bridges in the background, it looks awesome.
Have you done Fenway?
No, I'd like to. I have not seen Fenway up close in person. Those might be the only parks I've ever seen. I just listed them
okay.
all. And again, I'm not somebody who wants to travel somewhere just to see
right.
typically, but after watching last night, if I get to Atlanta again, I'd like to go check out a baseball game there.
By the way,
not when it's 99 degrees and humid, but
You mentioned O'Neill Cruz. Here's something that maybe somebody can educate me, or as Wojo would say, edumacate me.
Mm-hmm.
How does somebody from the Dominican Republic have the first name O'Neill?
His father was a fan of Paul O'Neill.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow, that's awesome.
They said this last night. I wouldn't have known. Otherwise, that was the story they told.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
O'Neill Cruz.
The other thing was cool.
It's a merger of Paul O'Neill and Jose Cruz.
Sure. Or pick a Cruz. There were a million of them.
Davey.
Different Cruz, right.
Carnival
Cruz. There you go.
Tom, name that Cruz.
Yeah. But the other thing I thought was cool is just all these guys were so young. So many young players.
Yes, which is great for the game.
It's great for the game. So these guys are battling, you know, they mentioned last night in the broadcast that most of these guys are making between $700,000 to $800,000 a year. And they're battling for a prize that would pay them $1 million. The winner of the Derby got $1 million.
No wonder, though, they looked really into it.
Well, but Kang, you brought up something else, another reason why some players see more into it, too. And I think you're right about this.
Oh, just the Latin influence and how much it means to them. I think, like, they're young and they want to compete, but I think it's still fun for maybe it's I don't know if it's because it's Latin America or whatever, but they just seem like they were more into it. They cared. But I think Cal cared maybe because he was young as well and was with his family. But, yeah, when they care, it makes the fans care, right? Didn't it make
totally.
You care more, Gator, when
yeah,
you were watching?
No, absolutely. It's like when you get the World Baseball Classic and people start representing their country and the Latin players – I mean, it means everything to them, and it's really cool to see that. When you watch the Four Nations Cup or if you watch the Olympic hockey and you see the players go to their respective countries, it means everything. The Canada Cup Series back in the day, it's just, when you're representing a country, it does seem to mean more. And for these, for the Derby last night, it's just the Derby. But you're right. The Latin players all got together. They all were giving each other advice on how to do that. And it was really cool. I really enjoyed that. So switching gears a little bit, we're going to get some more calls at 248-539-9797. I got some people on hold who want to do their family affair sports moment, which we want to get to. But I did want to mention this. There was a story that came out, and it's...
Brian Baldinger.
Yeah, Brian Baldinger, who's from the NFL Network, played college football with Von Miller's agent.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, I'm assuming that Joby Branyan is the agent for Von Miller. He said that he told him that Miller has, quote, three very interested teams. Now, he didn't name the teams, according to Baldinger. He says, I think Von feels like there's a pretty good chance that he's going to sign at some point, either before camp or, I mean, I don't think Von's too crazy about going to training camp. Most guys that age aren't. They know what they need to do. He looks like he's in great shape. So I would say that he's going to get signed here pretty soon. Now, Von Miller, the edge rusher, was cut. The Bills were able to save some money on that deal. He signed a six-year, $120 million deal before the 2022 season.
He's 35 years old.
He's 36.
Oh, okay.
36. I think he just turned 36. I'm sorry. You're right. My bad, Sonny. I think he's 35. He's played in 36 out of a possible 50 games with Buffalo, and he had 14 sacks and 41 tackles.
No, you're correct. He is 36.
Okay. 14 sacks, 41 tackles, 23 quarterback hits in 36 games. Is that those aren't eye-popping stats?
No, he had 6 sacks last year, none the year before. He's just basically a pass rush specialist, not as good as he was, but all indications are he's a great teammate, great leader, and all that. The teams I've been fishing around here, reading different articles since this came out. Most people think the three teams, Lions aren't one of them. It's more, everybody's looking at the Ravens, the Chargers, and maybe the Eagles.
Well, I would imagine he comes cheaper. Like at this point, you're talking about training camp signing. Mm-hmm. So it's not like signing a week into free agency or a day into free agency.
Right.
So it's probably going to come relatively cheap. The fact that he's not productive anymore, it kind of wipes him off my list to a point. I think if you wanted to add him to the roster and give him a chance, I'm not against that, but I don't want to pay him a ton of money. If it means you could, like, I'd rather see them spend the money on Za'Darius Smith and bring him back as opposed to bringing Von Miller in. But would I rather have Von Miller than, say, Marcus Davenport? Yeah, probably. Because Marcus Davenport just can't stay healthy.
Well, Von Miller fits the Lions' MO, Riley, right? They like guys coming off injuries.
Well, but he doesn't in that he's not a big guy.
I know.
And he doesn't have the versatility.
Correct.
Because he's just a pass rush specialist, which I don't think there's anything wrong with having a guy who's just a pass rush specialist.
I mean, basically, Za'Darius Smith was not exactly great against the run.
No, but had better size and, hopefully, well, you thought he was going to pay off more than it did last year for the team, and they haven't brought him back yet. I still think that that's probably something that gets done, in my opinion.
It's going to be, talking about him for a second. You know, people say, well, he's not what we thought he was going to be and all that stuff. I'd really like to see how he would perform when he has a healthy Aiden Hutchinson on the other side.
Yeah, because basically he put up the same numbers of the Lions that he did in Cleveland.
Right.
When he was playing with Myles Garrett.
Right.
And the numbers weren't bad.
No.
It ends up being, 8 sacks in the season or whatever it was. It's okay as a secondary pass rusher. Okay. I'll look at that.
Yeah.
And I do think something ends up getting worked out with the Lions and Za'Darius Smith. But as far as Von Miller is concerned, I don't have as much. I'm not high on that like I was maybe early on in free agency. I thought, okay, after some big names have gone, hang on for Von Miller. See what happens with this guy. And now here we are in July talking about it. Lions training camp, rookies report tomorrow. I think the veterans report on Sunday. We got football in 2 weeks, which is crazy to think about. But, training camp's getting ready to start here. So we'll see if Von Miller signs with somebody and are the Lions on that list. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Same number to text. You want to comment on Von Miller? Great. You want to offer up your family affair sports moment? Kind of looking, I can't imagine he's going to, you know, top what Cal Raleigh got to do last night with his father pitching to him and his brother catching while he was at the Home Run Derby. But something where you, the entire family was brought together because of sports. Was there something that, you know, we had one guy call and had a great one where he was playing in a softball game where he and his brother were playing in the middle of the infield and his dad was playing first base and they were able to turn a double play. It was Monroe to Monroe over to Monroe. That's awesome. We'll talk about it next year. 97.1, The Ticket. And some more ticket texts that come in. The All-Star game has gone the same route as other sports. No real rivalry in the game any longer. We need someone clunked to get this game going. Well, it's certainly not as competitive as it used to be.
No.
But you got to go back a long time where it was competitive.
It was competitive. They tried to put a little competition in. I actually understood it. I didn't have that big of a problem with when they, you know, the winner gets home field advantage for the World Series. It kind of screwed the Tigers because Verlander, if you remember in that World Series, in the All-Star game, he decided that he started the game and was like trying to throw 120 miles an hour and got shelled. Said, we had to start the series in San Francisco. And who knows if that would have made a difference.
Yeah, well, he was trying to throw his heart. I think he was trying to hit triple digits and did not.
Yeah.
As I recall that game. Mm-hmm. Look, the All-Star game is still the best of all the All-Star games in the four major sports. I mean, the NBA All-Star game, it's not competitive. It's not worth watching. The Pro Bowl is a joke now.
Yeah, they don't
like football.
And hockey,
hockey's improved over the years with what they're trying to do with
the 3-on-3. Yeah, but they
it's not hockey.
Well, they figured it out. They said, enough of this. We're going to do a four nations thing.
Yeah, but they're not doing that every year.
No,
so,
well, they'll do something in the Olympics.
If you wanted to make it more competitive, you could do like a North America versus the world thing in the All-Star game for hockey, and you'll see. Because, again, people really like to play for their countries.
They could do that in baseball, too.
They can. Well, that's when they have the World Baseball Classic. I love the World Baseball Classic. It's awesome. The problem is when they play it, because there's no great time to play it.
Correct.
You're playing it during spring training. You know, people are just getting loosened up, and, you know, you certainly don't want to get anybody hurt and all that. But the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, it's like I said, I think it's probably the best of the four major sports, and it could always be better. And we always look for opportunities to make it better. I've got one way to make it better, just real simple. And it's a visual thing. That is, let the players play in their uniforms. So
they
people know who they are. I know they did. That's what I'm saying. Go back to them. Let them play in their actual home or road uniforms so that, you know exactly who it is.
Do you remember one year Lou forgot his jersey? When, I think it was in Minnesota.
Lou Whitaker, yep.
Yeah.
And they had to buy one from a vendor or something like that.
Yeah.
And paste a number on it or something crazy.
This year, they are going back to their original uniforms.
Are they? So yes.
They're wearing their own team uniforms in this year's All-Star game.
Oh, good.
There we go.
They
heard you right
step
now.
Step one.
Yes.
Let me just say this. You're welcome.
Yeah, you get things done, Gator.
That's what I do. Yeah. And they're also going to have the automated strikes and ball system. Or a balls and strikes system,
wow. ABS. I want to see that.
Yes, I think that's cool because I think that's coming to Major League Baseball as soon as next year.
So does the umpire stand behind them anyway?
Yeah, he still calls balls and strikes. It's just that they have, you don't know how this works. So no. It's the same thing. It's baseball. It's just that if a hitter thinks that a pitch was a ball and they called it a strike, he can tap his helmet and they'll do a quick review. And it takes like 10 seconds because it's just the animation. And they'll let you know. Yes, it was a strike. No, it was a ball. And same thing goes for the pitcher. If the pitcher's like, that's a strike, and you know he'll tap his hat or the catcher will do it, and they'll review it. And it's done instantaneously. So it's great. Now, there's some bugs that they have to work out because of what the strike zone actually is. I think the way they have it set up right now, they don't necessarily have – it's like just a uniform strike zone, no matter if you're – Jose Altuve or Aaron Judge, which they're going to have to change things up based on each individual batter and we'll see if they've improved on that. But nonetheless, it's coming tonight, and it'll be worth watching. Casey is in Birmingham. Welcome to 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Casey.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So come from a big football family and played in college, and so did my older brother, so neither of us got to watch our younger brother play in high school. And we finally got together for one of his college games up at Ferris. And he's playing safety. They're on defense. I think they're up by just less than a touchdown towards the end of the game. So the other team has a chance to win it. And he walks it off with a pick six.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, the whole family's there going crazy. He still gives me flack because I was jumping up and down. And I jumped in front of the camera. My mom was taping.
So you don't get to see the whole thing.
He doesn't get to see himself run in. But, it was just one of those moments where it's like, is with all of us here, you know, mom, dad, older brothers, little, you know, we have younger brothers and sisters even younger than him. So it was just like everybody was there. I think my grandma was there too. It was just one of those moments. Just really cool.
That's a great moment to share. Thanks, Casey. Yeah. Appreciate it. George, you're next up here. 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, George.
Hey guys, how are you?
All right.
Good. Another softball story. I played on coaching teams for about 35, 40 years. And one game, I had my nephew at shortstop. I was pitching. My brother, who actually taught me the game, was playing left center. And we were short one girl, so I talked my daughter into playing catcher. She won the game on a bases-loaded swing bunt, basically. and the other, another quick story, when she was much younger, my wife and I have two daughters, but my oldest daughter was at the game. I was pitching the batter hit the ball. It was going toward the stands, and just before it landed, which would have hit my daughter, she fell back into my wife's arms instead of hitting her in the head. But she remembers that moment as, hey, Dad, you remember that game where you almost hit me in the head with the ball?
That's not the way you want to remember it, right. But yes. Thanks, right. George. I appreciate it. 248-539-9797. Some more feedback coming in regarding the announcers. Imagine getting Bruce Buffer doing the introductions. That would be electric. That's Devin in Detroit.
Well, you couldn't use Michael because they'd get sued.
Stop. Yeah. Don't right. say anything.
I know.
I like Bruce Buffer. I like Bruce Buffer better. He's the guy. Bruce Buffer is the one who does the UFC events.
Okay.
Kang and I both love, or at least used to love, his introductions. He was all in on it. If you got the wide angle view when he's doing the introductions, he is so animated while he's it's fantastic.
I remember like when boxing was really cool, you had Michael Buffer did it for like HBO,
right.
And was it Jimmy Lennon was the guy who did it on Showtime events?
Yes, I think you're right. And Jimmy Lennon had the
it almost looked like he painted his hair yellow.
Yeah, it was a distinctive voice, but he didn't try to go over the he was not over the top at all. It was just a guy who was always there. Lee is next up here, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Lee.
Hey, hello.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, so some years back, maybe 10 years ago, I come from a big family, so I have 15 in our family.
Wow.
I got nine brothers, eight brothers and myself. So we ended up forming a softball team. So there was eight of us. My older brother had passed away, but his son was old enough to play. So there was eight of us and him, all last name, same. And then another nephew also playing and two brother-in-laws.
What was the age range? But
the age range at the time was, well, at that time, it would have been from 45 down to 18.
Oh, that's cool. That's really
incredible.
Cool. Incredible. You have a whole team with a family.
Yeah, my oldest brother was old enough to be my father, so you would. You
know. Well, yeah, I mean, you said 15 in the family. You know, you're not having kids every year there. You space them out. So.
I don't know about that.
Your mom needed a little break every once in a while, right. Huh?
Yeah, I don't think you got a big say in it, but yeah.
All right, thanks for the call, Lee. Appreciate it. That's awesome. I have a whole baseball team of the same family.
Mm-hmm.
18 to 45 is a pretty good range.
You
know, 45, you're starting to, you know what, I'm getting too old for this, but I'm going to hang on so I can see my nephew play or whatever. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
248-539-9797 is a telephone number. Ways to improve the All-Star game. Did you enjoy the Derby last night? Von Miller Do you want the Lions to go after Von Miller? Lots on the table. We've got more as well. I got a question regarding Ndamukong Suh, of all people, that we can bring up as well here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, Gator, we were talking about they're going to be wearing their jerseys tonight for the All-Star game, like Riley Green and the rest of them. Scooble will be wearing the away Detroit jerseys.
Yep.
And everybody's wearing their own uniforms. Did you see what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers released today?
I did not.
They will be celebrating their 50th year in the National Football League, and they're bringing back 1 year only. Not every game.
The creamsicles?
No. The white jerseys from 1976. And there's pictures all over the place. You can see Baker Mayfield. And they are really, really cool, I think. Now, hopefully the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will have as much success as they had back in 1976 when they were horrific. But, you know.
So these are all white with...
Like the creamsicle.
Right, with a creamsicle orange.
Number, yeah.
Right. But they're not the
trim. They're not the creamsicle.
Creamsicle tops.
Right.
Which would have been, those were awesome. I don't know if I like this one.
I like them because I haven't seen them since they went to the pewter and gold or whatever the hell they do.
Well, now they do the pewter
yeah,
and
I know.
Red. And
that's when they took away those though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I love I did like the creamsicles a lot when I was growing up.
Yeah, I do too. I still do.
But you know, because you have the darker, you would have wear the darker jersey at home.
I love the swashbuckling pirate, the Buccaneer on the helmet. That's awesome.
That was a cool logo, without question. And it was a color scheme that I don't think anybody saw coming.
No,
at the time, they were 0-14 that year. I think they only played a 14-game schedule in 76. They had the top pick in the draft, and they chose poorly.
Yes.
They took Ricky Bell instead of Tony Dorsett, and that didn't work out so well for them. But eventually, the team won a Super Bowl.
Yes, they did.
And our team has not.
They've actually won two Super Bowls.
This is true. Yes. I forgot. I always forget about the Brady experience that they had.
Yeah.
And we're still waiting. We're hoping. We're going to get there at some point. Hopefully it's this year. Greg is in Detroit. Greg, welcome to 97 on the Ticket. Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. You guys are the best. I really appreciate you guys immensely, I assure you. My daughter is 20. She was 15. Took us to a Tigers game. She was 15 at the time, and with everything that a 15-year-old has, that was her, I said, hey, we're going to a Tigers game. She gave me the traditional, ew. And so... We went, got there, they were playing the Yankees. The game is going good. The clouds form, and then it starts raining, so we had to run and take cover. We're walking around the stadium. We walked everywhere. We walked all the way up to the bleachers, and she looked down, and we walked all the way around the stadium waiting for the rain delay to go by. So we walked all around the stadium. Finally, stops raining. Go back to our seats. Tigers ended up beating the Yankees in the last inning, so that was exciting. There was a foul ball that was hit to us right in the seat next to me. It hit in the seat, bounced up. I got it on the first hop and handed it right over to her. So it hit the seat, hit my hand, hit it right to her.
So her first game, she gets a baseball, her first game.
I'm not even finished. So then it's Friday night, and she knows nothing about this. So we win the game in the bottom of the ninth, and now it's fireworks. So now she's in, you know, so all this. And so as the fireworks is going on, she's trying to tell me something. She's like, Dad! Dad! I'm like, I can't hear you. Dad! And right in a brief second, between the fireworks. She says, "Dad," I'm like, "What? Best day ever."
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that's awesome.
You got the best day ever from the daughter. That's worth it. Totally worth
it. Best day ever.
That's awesome. Thanks for the call, Greg. I appreciate it. And listen, when you take somebody to a game and you get a sequence of events like that, how they are not going to love, you know, baseball at that point.
Taking my daughter, I forgot to mention this, when we went to the Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl in Minnesota where they won, and she's such a football fan, and all she wanted to do was go to the Super Bowl. Coincidentally, Philadelphia was actually playing, and we went, and it was just a great day for her.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Get to share that. It's really cool. So the Lions are going to be starting training camp real soon. In fact, the rookies report tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You get the veterans report on Sunday. We had the Von Miller story, but his agent saying, oh, there's three teams interested. Are the Lions one of them? We don't know. We're asking people if they would like to see the Lions go ahead and sign Von Miller, bring him into the fold. I'm not really in favor of that. I think there are other players that rather, if they're going to go out and get somebody, to bring somebody in. At this point, I still think Za'Darius Smith is the right player to bring in. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with Alex Anzalone. With I don't know if it's a contract dispute, but there's, you know, he'd like to get paid more, and he's deserving of it. And with all these other players, high-profile players that are, you know, wanting to redo contracts, you can understand. There's the name of the player I won't mention now because you were upset with it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You're tired of it. You're done with it. And there are several players like that.
Yes.
That are in that same group. And funnily enough, all in the same position group.
Yeah.
That we'll see what happens with that. There's always these interesting stories going into training camp. The Lions will be one of the first teams to get the report because they have the first preseason game of all of them in the Hall of Fame game coming up in just a couple of weeks. Also will be interesting to see with all these second round players that haven't signed their contracts because
I'm a little worried.
They want guarantees.
Normally, I wouldn't be that upset about this or worried. But the fact of the matter is the Lions' second round pick is somebody that they are counting on starting and is very important to how far the Lions are going to go this year. And that, is, of course, is Tate Ratledge. And whether he's going to be playing center or guard, they need him. And he needs training camp.
He does. He does. And I find this whole thing interesting that it's like it's a new phenomenon now because you don't really think about it too much with the second round picks. That do they need guaranteed contracts or not? Because typically they're going to play year to year. They'll play out the first contract, if you will. You don't see many flameouts in the second round that were after a year that the team has said, you're out of here. You know, we made a mistake in drafting you. I don't know why they don't just guarantee him anyway.
Right.
I don't get that. I mean, the NFL is really strange with the rules because it's a four-year deal. What's the problem?
It's simple.
You're a league that makes money hand over fist.
Exactly.
Why are you worried about a guarantee?
What country do you live in? We're ruled by corporate America, and the National Football League is corporate America. It's not just, you know, football. It's businesses all over any realm of life. Everything revolves around money and corporate greed, most of it. And the National Football League, as much as we love it, it's corporate greed.
It is. And this is something that's just so stupid and petty to me because the instances where this would happen, where a second round player doesn't live up to the terms of the deal and is so much that he's such a bust that is released after like a year or two. Those instances are so few and far between.
And if you have to eat that salary, I know it might have cap ramifications.
But they're not great ramifications.
Right.
It's not like he's costing you $5 million,
correct,
$10 million a year.
Correct.
And they're second-round picks.
Right, and you can afford it. And the cap keeps going up. So guarantee them.
So the NFL and the NFL Players Association, they have got to get together on this and say, what are we doing?
Well, they can't even decide who the head of their PA is going to be because that was very controversial over the weekend.
Apparently the players don't mind, but the owners are now thinking, well, you know, he's got what ties to a team. And
some of the players,
like the whole thing is just, it's just strange because this is a simple one in my mind, There should be no discussion about it. It's a guarantee. It's a 4-year guarantee. You know, just your first round pick, the great thing about being a first round pick is you get the fifth year. There's that fifth year option.
Right.
That gets picked up or doesn't get picked up. You know, that what are we doing? I mean, get it done. And particularly when, you know, we're looking here as Lions fans now, and how does this affect the Lions? Well, because Tate Ratledge, yes, as you mentioned, that's the guy that I would think that, you know, if we bring up this as a topic today and ask the people, who are you most interested in hearing about over the next couple of days before the veterans come in and report on Sunday? While it's just the rookies coming to camp this for the next few days, who is it you want to hear about? It's going to be Tate Ratledge.
Absolutely.
Now, to an extent, Tyler Williams, yeah, the first-round pick, of course, yeah, first-round guy. But I don't think people are expecting Tyler Williams to have the impact the first year like Tate Ratledge is going to have an impact because of the position he's playing and because he's probably going to start.
But you're right. Well, but in fairness, because of the Aleem McNeil situation, who's basically a Pro Bowl-type player who, you know, people forget that he probably won't be here till after Halloween.
Right.
They need Williams to do well also. But, yeah, this team will only go as far as the offensive line. And if that offensive line, you know, breaks down, they're in trouble with Ragnar retiring. That's why this kid needs as many reps as possible. Get this done. And if there is some sort of, quote, collusion going on, it's up to Sheila Fordham to say, you know what, we need this guy. I'll guarantee it.
Right. I mean, that's the other part. It's like the owner, you bring up the collusion aspect of it. Like, I'm sure the individual owners are like, I don't care. I just want to sign the guy. He's going to be something for this team. Do it.
Yeah.
Buck the system. What are you going to get blackballed from the rest of the league if you do that?
Is Roger's going to call you up and say, Sheila, you're a bad girl.
Get it done. And just the other part is there hasn't been any official announcement where Ratledge is going to play.
Right.
I mean, he could play guard. He could play center.
You remember?
We're not sure yet because Graham Glasgow had to go in and play center when Ragnow's been hurt in the past, and he's played really well there.
And don't forget, when Ragnow first started, he started as a guard.
Stop that. Shaking your finger at me.
Started as a guard.
There you have it.
Yeah.
Because Rayola was still on the team, is that it?
I don't know.
But anyway, Frank Ragnow turned into be one of the best centers in the league, and they have to replace him. It's a big-time replacement, and I think that's probably, I don't know if it's number one storyline in training camp. It's probably the coordinators, and you know, but that's not really a training camp story. That's a season story. Training camp story, to me, is Tate Ratledge.
Yeah.
And he needs to be there from day one. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. I mentioned we got an Dominic and Sue topic we're going to bring up next here on 97.1 The Ticket. So there's now official word that Ndamukong Suh is retired. He is officially retired from the National Football League.
Good riddance.
Really, he was a hell of a Detroit Lion.
Great player. Great player. I just didn't like the way he retired.
How he retired?
Yeah.
How so?
He made a statement on social media, but he didn't thank players, coaches, mention teams, fans, nothing.
I can understand that would rub people the wrong way.
Yeah.
He did,
you know, in fairness, a lot of it was about his father who had passed away like a year ago, I think. So most of it was based on that, but still.
He's always been just a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say he's odd. I think he just.
He's very smart. He's intelligent. But
he is. Well, yeah.
It seems it's all about Ndamukong Suh, though.
That's the way it comes across. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from moment one that the Lions drafted him and got him his first contract, and his agent made some comment like, oh, we love this deal because it gets him closer to free agency, the way it was set up.
and his sister kind of intimated that they didn't like it here and all that stuff.
Lots of stuff mm-hmm. went down, and then you get to, you know, the year going into his last season with the Lions, that draft, the Lions could have drafted his replacement in Aaron Donald, and they didn't. They chose Eric Ebron instead. The rest is history with that trajectory. But it's interesting, I guess, that because I kept holding out hope that he was going to sign with the Lions. Thought made all the sense in the world. They'll get things done, and they didn't get things done. And then they were ill-prepared to move forward, like I said, by taking Ebron over Aaron Donald was really a massive mistake when you look back at it in NFL history, given that the writing was on the wall that he wasn't going to sign with this team in the first place going into that last season. If they had known that for sure that he wasn't going to, then perhaps they would have drafted differently. Maybe not. It was just the regime in place at the time. But during the last, I don't know, 5 years, it feels like, Ndamukong Suh's name kept coming up from Lions fans and saying, why don't they sign Ndamukong Suh? Why don't they bring him back as a free agent? Bring him back as a free agent. That's what people constantly would say. Well, now he's officially retired.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we're still going to get those calls from people. Because despite the fact that players retire, fans will always want players to come back and play.
How long did people say, oh, bring back Barry, you know, he'll come back and all that stuff back in the day? I mean,
well, because Barry retired after only 10 years in the league.
Right.
So, it, you know, hadn't suffered any major injuries at that point. And I think up to a few years after that, people were still saying Barry can still play.
Yes.
And I wouldn't have disagreed with him too much because he hadn't been away that long and hadn't played that much.
Right.
And I think Calvin Johnson was kind of a similar thing because he didn't play all that long. But Calvin's body, that was different.
Right.
His body took a beating in the NFL. But like recently, J.J. Watt retired a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Fans would still call up even last year. We were taking calls and saying, Lions should go talk to J.J. Watt.
Make the call.
And we would have to, Doug and I on the show would have to think about, like, does this even make sense? And we're like, I mean, the guy is, you know, he's been hurt and banged up, and yet, you know, would you kick the tires on it? Would you at least make a phone call and see if there's interest? Because he's still, when he stepped down from the league, he's still playing at a pretty high level.
Mm-hmm.
So the question I have at 248-539-9797 is, since 2000, right? Let's go over the last 25 years.
Okay.
Who's the player outside of Calvin Johnson, we'll say? It doesn't even have to be locally. It could be anywhere. But locally is always better. But who's the player you're convinced that despite the fact that they retired, that you thought even 2 years after retirement, you thought they can come back to the team or a team and still play at a high level and be a difference maker?
I'll give you two. One's local, one's not. I still believe, not now, I don't think, but at the time, a few years after he retired,
mm-hmm.
I think Dominic Hasha could have still played.
The Dominator.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think what his last year was. I mean, he was played a couple of years with the Red Wings and then came back and played with the Red Wings.
Yeah.
He
wasn't great, but he wasn't bad.
Better than what they have now.
Right.
he was. I guess one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
So Hasek is one you thought.
Yeah. And the other one, you might disagree. Now, the Lions don't need him for this position, but I think Gronk could still play if he wanted to.
Right now?
Yeah, right now. I think he could still play.
He's another guy. He didn't play that long in the NFL. People think like he was like a 15-year veteran. I think he only played like 10 or 11 years. Yeah.
And by the way, since you mentioned Ratledge,
yeah.
You know, if this thing doesn't get, you know, the Lions need a center, he wouldn't, but you can't convince me that Jason Kelce couldn't come and help the Lions for 1 year.
I suppose. Yeah, well,
forget if you want, you know. You
I think
like
he's already dropped a ton of weight. I think he's already gone down that path where, you know, linemen either blow up or they slim down. And I think he's enjoying his life of being you know, a celebrity outside the game. But interesting, because maybe he could. The guy I have is Nicklas Lidström. Nick played till he was 41 years old.
Right.
And when he stopped playing, he was a plus 21 player that year. He had 34 points. It was, you know, by far his, it was his lowest total you know, since, wow, his lowest total in a full season ever, aside from the 94-95 season. But I think that was the, was that the strike year or work stoppage year?
Yes.
So it was his lowest point total in his career was his last year. But he was plus 21. He was still getting it done. He averaged 23, almost 24 minutes of ice time per game. I'm convinced. I was convinced then. Like, if they wanted to bring him back in 2014, even at 44 years old, that Nick Lidström could still play at a high level right. and be a top four defenseman.
Well, yeah, like I mentioned Hasek. So I'm looking at Hasek's last year here was the year they won the cup in 2007. He got pulled the 2018, in the Yeah, he got pulled in the playoffs. But in the regular season, he's at age 42.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. He was 42 back then. So he's 60 now, so I don't think he can still play. But 2 point is goals against average in the regular season that year was 2.14 with a 902 save percentage. And the year before, he had a 91.913 save percentage in 56 games. He still played 41 games at age 42.
That's half a season's worth.
Yeah.
That's impressive. But that was Dominik Hasek. 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. Who's the player over the last 25 years that you're convinced could still play if they even after they retired? Like they could have come back a year after retirement, you know, take a year off and then come back and play. Who is that guy? 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. For me, it's Nick Lidström. For Stoney, it's Dominik Hasek. Who is it for you? We'll take the calls next and text as well. That's how we do things on the Carson Anderson program. And look.